Ambassador, you weren't on the call, were you? The President, you didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Zelensky's call?
I did not.
You've never talked with Chief of Staff Mulvaney?
I never did.
You never met the President?
That's correct.
You had three meetings again with Zelensky and it didn't come up.
And two of those they had never heard about, as far as I know.
And President
there was
Zelensky,
no reason for
and
it.
President
to come
Zelensky
up.
Never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe, and you're their star witness.
Anyone can tell you the news.
Barack, Diamond is sucked.
Mark Zuckerberg will end up, and it's going to be a face without the book.
Paul, book without the face.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
Now they're chipping away at the normalization of pedophilia, and the left is embracing this type of behavior.
We welcome Dinesh D'Souza.
I know I ticked him off. In a certain sense, it's a giant up yours to Obama, and that's why the left is freaking out over it.
Jack Kennedy and LBJ, Clinton, and the double standard from the left.
Yeah, I love how the left does nothing but push the most bizarre practices down our throats and up our tailpipes.
It takes a real man to tackle the hot issues that really matter.
Michael Hart is the man of this house.
Welcome to the Michael Hart Show.
November 2019, and you're listening to the Heart of America on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. This is the impeachment edition of the program. We take a look back at some previous attempts at impeaching the President of the United States as public hearings began in the House impeachment inquiry, focusing on the circumstances surrounding President Trump's July 25th phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky. We've got more on that here in just a bit. Plus, Adam Schiff, does he even know who the so-called whistleblower is? Also, in this edition, we cover the history behind these previous impeachment attempts. Plus, take your calls at 929-477-3761, This Day in History. And Megan Barth of ReaganBabe.com joins us. This program brought to you by our friends over at Liberty One Tech. That's Liberty, the number one tech.com. Liberty One Tech for all of your cyber needs, your website, your tech support, and of course, our friends over at The Land Report, landreport.com. If you love land, go check them out. And if you are regional in the Alabama or Southern Tennessee area, our friends over at Alabama Water Management for all of your foundation waterproofing and drainage needs. An awful lot to take a look at today, including, of course, this day in history, because this program, well, pretty much focuses on the history of this nation and things that have gone on in our past that more or less shape the present day narrative. But it's not always politically significant. But it was on this particular date in 1957, the Apalachin meeting took place in rural Tioga County in upstate New York. It's raided by law enforcement. Many high-level mafia figures are arrested while trying to flee. Also on this date in 1970, Southern Airways Flight 932 crashes in the mountains near Huntington, West Virginia, killing 75 people, including almost all of the Marshall University football team. It is also on this particular date in 1979, President Jimmy Carter issues Executive Order 12170, freezing all Iranian assets in the United States in response to the hostage crisis. Also on this particular date, 1991, American and British authorities announced indictments against two Libyan intelligence officials in connection with the downing of Pan Am Flight 103. That's pretty much all that is worth mentioning today on this particular day. That will be the 14th of November. So much to talk about today. We've got some wonderful, I don't know how to put this, but unbelievably evidential audio and watching, and I didn't, by the way, watch the impeachment hearings with the House members yesterday. I pulled a lot of my audio down. I prefer to read the text of it as opposed to just watching it. On top of everything else, I don't really have the time to sit there and waste on such a farcical event. But some very interesting comments were made, and primarily directed towards the ambassador to Ukraine, a man by the name of Taylor. And we're going to get into that here in just a moment. And that's exactly who Representative Jim Jordan was speaking to yesterday in the opening statement that we just played prior to coming on air with you live today. The fact that the star witness, Taylor, really has nothing. And it got worse from there. So we're going to take a look at, we're going to play some of the audio, take a look at some of the other points that were made throughout the course of yesterday's proceedings, which will continue again today, and proceedings that I personally will avoid because I say that it's comical, but it's not comical in the ha-ha sense. It's just plain sad. And for those of you that are just now tuning into the program, this is Jim Jordan, and I've got the longer version of it that we're going to play here in just a few moments. But this is Jordan pointing out the fact that Taylor ain't got nothing, and he's the heavy guns.
Ambassador, you weren't on the call, were you? The president, you didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Lindsey's call?
I did not.
You've never talked with Chief of Staff Mulvaney?
I never did.
You never met the president?
That's correct.
You had three meetings again with Zelensky and it didn't come up.
And two of those they had never heard about as far as I know.
And President
there was
Lindsey,
no reason for
and
it.
President
to come
Zelensky
up.
Never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe. And you're their star witness.
Then it gets really weird. And we have another audio from Representative Mike Quigley. Now, he's a Democrat from Illinois. And in the United States courts of law, circumstantial evidence only goes so far, particularly when it comes to high crimes and misdemeanors, which history has, and the Constitution too for that matter, been very reluctant to identify and define. Unfortunately, in past attempts to impeach presidents or any elected official for that matter, high crimes and misdemeanors has been defined by the ruling body of that period of time. But to tell you how ridiculous this has gotten, the star witness, Taylor, has basically said he knows nothing. He's got nothing, wasn't privy to the call, and that pretty much everything that he is sharing in these proceedings is third-party evidence. Then, to really confound the issue, Quigley appears to embrace hearsay testimony, claiming that hearsay can be much better evidence than direct, and that countless people have been convicted on hearsay because the courts have routinely allowed and created needed exceptions to hearsay. And in his own words, this is Representative Quigley.
And to close primer on hearsay, I think the American public needs to be reminded that countless people have been convicted on hearsay because the courts have routinely allowed and created needed exceptions to hearsay. Hearsay can be much better evidence than direct, as we have learned in painful instances, and it's certainly valid in this instance.
So we are going to indict, prosecute, and possibly convict a sitting United States president on hearsay. Hearsay, conjecture, rumor, and innuendo. Does that actually rise to high crimes and misdemeanors? This entire thing is a sham from top to bottom. It's absolutely farcical. And in looking at some of the information and some of the testimony that we have gleaned, it is one of the biggest threats to the future of this country, the United States Constitution, and the implications that it would have on the U.S. judicial system. If you are even remotely in support of what is taking place here, you are a jackaloon of the highest order. Additionally, Quigley makes comments to the effect of hearsay has been permissible in United States courts of law. And while that's an accurate statement to a degree, the United States House of Representatives is not a court of law. It's conducting a proceeding, but it needs and must always and constitutionally is demanded that it rise to a much higher standard. But now the Democrats in the House have telegraphed quite articulately that they are willing to oust a duly elected president predicated on third and fourth party conjecture and banter. A couple of things come to mind here. Number one, if that was to be successful, and it's not, by the way, it makes for great TV. Do you realize that every single president that could come down the pike in the future would be exposed to this kind of nonsense, to where we can oust people from office predicated on our own dislike of said elected official? In the case of Bill Clinton, it was a matter of perjury. The actual impeachment was initiated in October of 1998 when the House of Representatives voted to commence impeachment proceedings against Clinton, again, for high crimes and misdemeanors. The specific charges against Clinton were lying under oath and clear obstruction of justice, also predicated on numerous public comments that he made to the media where he basically perjured himself. Now, of course, the charges, as you're well aware, stemmed from a sexual harassment lawsuit filed against Clinton by Paula Jones and from Clinton's testimony denying that he had engaged in sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky. Now, the catalyst for the impeachment was the Starr report, the report prepared by independent counsel Ken Starr for the House Judiciary Committee. It might also be worth noting at this point that one of the primary investigators on the counsel Starr, Ken Starr's committee, was in fact current Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Just putting it out there. A little bit of payback during his confirmation from the Clinton camp, lo, these years later. In 98, Clinton becomes the second president to be impeached, the first being Andrew Johnson, who was impeached in 1868. When the House formally adopted articles of impeachment for them to the United States, a trial in the Senate began in January of 1999 with Chief Justice William Rehnquist presiding. Clinton was acquitted on both counts as neither received the necessary two-thirds majority of the senators present for conviction and removal from office. In this instance, 67. On Article 1, 45 senators voted to convict, while 55 voted for acquittal. And so it goes. But Clinton was not impeached because he was diddling around with Lewinsky. He was not impeached because he made inappropriate advances to Paula Jones. He was impeached because he lied about it under oath. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that Donald Trump has engaged in the same kind of behavior. It is nothing more than what Quigley points out, complete, utter hearsay. And that hearsay should be allowed in a court of law. Again, Mike Quigley, who wants to impeach a sitting president of the United States based upon third-party chatter and banter, probably in the men's room or the hallways around D.C. Again, Quigley.
And if I guess to close, primer on hearsay, I think the American public needs to be reminded that countless people have been convicted on hearsay because the courts have routinely allowed and created needed exceptions to hearsay. Hearsay can be much better evidence than direct, as we have learned in painful instances, and it's certainly valid in this instance.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around.
So I guess that's the new precedent for the United States judicial system. That ranks up there with cashing a postdated third-party check for somebody that you meet on a street. But no, it gets worse from there, because in addition to what we learn here, we've also got Representative Alyssa Slotkin, who's a D from Michigan, who flipped a GOP district in 2018 that Trump had actually won, told Fox News that she was weighing all the evidence, despite the fact that we've got no evidence. Stokin went on to acknowledge that the launching of an impeachment inquiry was a politically tough thing to do. And so we see the circus for what it is. Now, reports have already emerged that should Trump be impeached by a majority vote in the House, that Senate Republicans, and this is where it gets kind of lovely, because, you know, let me just kind of stop here, because I made a comment to on Igniting the Nation Broadcast Network about a month ago. I'm not necessarily opposed to the impeachment of Donald Trump, and there's a multitude of reasons, but if he were to be impeached, oh, wow, we might as well just go ahead and plan the inaugural ball, because he's going to walk in. Because on top of everything else, should he be impeached by a majority vote in the House, Senate Republicans have in recent days telegraphed that they would hold a lengthy trial to, in some of their words, scramble the 2020 Democrat presidential primary by requiring several of the contenders to remain in Washington to handle the trial. And again, Trump is all but certain to be acquitted by the GOP-controlled Senate in the event of an impeachment, given that a two-thirds vote is required in the Senate to remove him from office. Because, again, too many people in this country are woefully unaware that impeachment does not remove the man. And the fact of the matter is, there's not a snowball's chance, and you know what, that the Republicans are going to get behind it and vote him out of office. And you get a lot of this from the squad followers. By the way, Bernie Sanders yesterday made a comment that AOC would be part of his staff if he's elected. Another farcical political position. This is what caused Nancy Pelosi in recent weeks to remind people.
Do you know most people think that impeachment means you're out of office? Did you ever get that feeling, or are you just in the bubble here? They think that you get impeached, you're gone. And that is completely not true. And I may have thought that myself 50 years ago. But you get impeached, and it's an indictment.
Yeah.
It's an indictment. So when you're impeaching somebody, you want to make sure you have the strongest possible indictment, because it's not the means to the end that people think.
The Democrats have got to get Donald Trump out of office. And it's not even a matter of hating him. It's a matter of beating him. And they know they can't. I mean, at the end of the day, they simply know that they don't stand a chance come November. They've got to do him and get him any way they possibly can. And this is that attempt. But what is really interesting to me is the fact that they already know they don't have the votes in the Senate. So ask yourself this question. What is the point? I think you know exactly what the point is. It's Mueller 2.0. They are lining up to do everything in their power to destroy their collective and individual political careers while taking this nation down simultaneously. They simply have no concern for it whatsoever other than to have a political witch hunt. And I hate using that word because it's been overworked, but it's absolutely mind-numbing to me. Now, Ambassador Taylor actually met with Zelensky the day after this call supposedly took place. Again, Taylor, as Jim Jordan points out, this is the defense, or in this case, the prosecution's star witness, not to be confused with Ken Starr, their star witness, okay? The one that's going to bring all this to bear. The one that's going to make the case that Donald Trump had an inappropriate phone call with President Zelensky of Ukraine as it relates to the investigation of Burisma Holdings, Hunter Biden, and the relationship to the White House. The man they called to the stage yesterday to clarify the severity of the call had this to say.
President Zelensky, the very next day?
We were. We had a meeting with him the very next day.
And did President Zelensky raise any concerns about his views of the call?
He said, I, Ambassador Volker, Ambassador Sondland were in his office, and we asked him, I think, how the call. He said, call was fine. I was happy with the call.
Okay.
Why is this going on in the day, too? I mean, somebody call this program and tell me why I am just completely wet. I mean, it is absolutely comical in the highest order. They don't have the votes. The Republicans are threatening to scramble the Democrat primary by holding the contenders for the Democrat Party in D.C., preventing them from campaigning. There's also chatter of keeping them in D.C., keep them from campaigning, and also prohibiting a vote because of the political opposition aspect to all of this. As the hearing wrapped up yesterday, the panel voted 13-9 along party lines to table a Republican motion to subpoena the whistleblower that now Adam Schiff says he doesn't even know who he is, although all of America does. And it just gets deeper and more ridiculous from there. Now, back to the long-form conversation of Jim Jordan and Ambassador Taylor. Here's their exchange.
Let me read it one more time. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 2019, in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. We got six people having four.
All right, there's more to this. I want to play that again because I want you to pay very careful attention to a legitimate memo that Jordan is speaking about, and nobody can even, you can't even timeline the darn thing. Listen to this again.
Let me read it one more time. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 2019, in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with
Curtis, I'm a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around.
Let me read it one more time. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison that I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmak on September 1st, 2019, in connection with Vice President Pence's visit to Warsaw and a meeting with President Zelensky. We got six people having four conversations in one sentence, and you just told me this is where you got your clear understanding. Which, I mean, even though you had three opportunities with President Zelensky for him to tell you, you know what, we're going to do these investigations to get the aid. Didn't tell you three different times. Never makes an announcement, never tweets about it, never does a CNN interview. Ambassador, you weren't on the call, were you? The president, you didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Zelensky's call?
I did not.
You've never talked with Chief of Staff Mulvaney?
I never did.
You never met the president?
That's correct.
You had three meetings again with Zelensky and it didn't come up.
And two of those they had never heard about as far as I know.
And President
there was no reason for it.
President Zelensky never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe. And you're their star witness. You're their first witness.
You're the guy
based on this, based on, I mean, I've seen church prayer chains that are easier to understand than this. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told, now again, this is, I hereby swear and affirm from Gordon Sondland. Ambassador Taylor recalls that Mr. Morrison told Ambassador Taylor that I told Mr. Morrison and I conveyed this message to Mr. Yarmouk on September 1st, 20. This all happens, by the way, in Warsaw, where Vice President Pence meets with President Zelensky. And guess what?
Taylor,
they didn't talk about any linkage either.
Time the gentleman's expired.
It's entertaining, but quite frankly, it scares the ever-living hell out of me. And throughout history, we have seen attempts, because impeachment is not reserved for the President of the United States. It's been used quite frequently to remove lower-tier justices and other members of the federal government. Now, in 1868, the House resolved to impeach Andrew Johnson, again, for high crimes and misdemeanors, which were detailed in 11 different articles of impeachment. But the primary charge against Johnson was violation of what's called the Tenure of Office Act. Specifically, he had been removed from office Edward M. Stanton, the Secretary of War, whom the act was largely designed to protect, and attempted to replace him with Major General Lorenzo Thomas. It was simply a matter of a personnel change. He violated the Tenure of Office Act because he had fired Edward M. Stanton, the Secretary of War. Now, you tell me where that's a high crime and misdemeanor. Johnson becomes the first American president to become impeached when the House formally adopted the articles and forwarded them to the United States Senate for adjudication. So as they adjudicate this, the trial in the Senate begins 3 days later, with Chief Justice Simon P. Chase providing. On May 16th, the Senate failed to convict Johnson on one of the articles, with a vote in favor of convicting falling short of the necessary two-thirds by one vote over his firing of Edward M. Stanton, which was in part passed by Congress, the Tenure of Office Act, to protect a political crony. Now, the impeachment and the trial of Andrew Johnson had important political implications for the balance of federal legislative executive power. You see, what you're seeing here is not only the repulsed Democrats as it relates to Trump, but this continuing battle for power and supremacy between the legislative branch and the executive branch. Again, for the balance of federal legislative and executive power, it maintained the principle that Congress should not remove the president from office simply because its members disagreed with him over policy, style, and administration of the office. Now, from a book on Johnson's impeachment, it resulted in diminishing presidential influence on public policy and overall governing power, fostering a system of governance which Woodrow Wilson referred to in the 1870s as congressional government. And that's what we're faced with today. When I opened the program, I made the comment that if this was to be successful, subsequent administrations could possibly be victimized by these positions, by this strategy. Woodrow Wilson in the 1870s points out that there is a struggle between the House, the Senate, specifically the legislative branch, and the executive. And he warned of congressional government, where through the impeachment process, the House of Representatives could, for all intent and purposes, overthrow the executive branch by way of impeachment, based solely on what Mike Quigley had to say about the quality of evidence.
Primer on hearsay, I think the American public needs to be reminded that countless people have been convicted on hearsay because the courts have routinely allowed and created needed exceptions to hearsay. Hearsay can be much better evidence than direct, as we have learned in painful instances, and it's certainly valid in this instance.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around. They say you got a boyfriend, you're out late every weekend, they're talking about you and it's bringing me down. But I know the neighborhood, they're talking cheap when the story is good, and the tales go totter on down the line. But I'm telling you, babe, that I don't think it's true, babe, and even if it is, keep sticking mine. You take it on the run, baby, if that's the way you want.
Don't you hate it when your computer is running slow? Did you know that could be a sign of viruses, spyware, or Trojan horses giving hackers access to your private data? Do not let your identity be stolen. Do not let your private documents be made public. Do not let a hacker hold your family photos hostage. Do let the industry-leading security experts at Liberty One Tech ensure that your computer and network are safe. Liberty One Tech will also help secure your online accounts to keep hackers out and make sure you never lose access. It's all free when you join the Talk Text Plus service. With Talk Text Plus, you have unlimited VIP access to expert technology help 7 days a week so that you can always make the right click. Sign up today and get the free security checkup at libertyonetech.com. That's Liberty, the number one, tech.com.
The Land Report, the magazine for the American landowner, is a proud supporter of the Michael Hart Show. Currently, they're offering an exclusive subscription price for listeners of the Michael Hart Show. So click on the subscribe button on landreport.com and enter the code HARTSHOW at checkout and receive a one-year discount on America's number one land magazine. You'll get a full year of the Land Report, which normally goes for $59, for only $15. That's a 75% savings off the cover price. Again, that's promo code HARTSHOW at checkout of thelandreport.com, and make sure to check out The Land Report on Facebook if you love land.
And Michael Hart is the man of this house.
Ambassador, you weren't on the call, were you? The president, you didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Lindsey's call?
I did not.
You've never talked with Chief of Staff Mulvaney?
I never did.
You never met the president?
That's correct.
You had three meetings again with Zelensky and it didn't come up.
And two of those they had never heard about as far as I know.
And President
there was
Lindsey,
no reason for
and
it
President
to come
Zelensky
up.
Never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe. And you're their star witness.
In recent weeks, the last couple of weeks or so, as those of you that are long-term listeners are aware, we have kind of pared back the number of times during the course of the week that we do this program. And that's for a variety of reasons. I have speaking engagements and books that I'm trying to get edited and out, and just a lot of things that are going on that has prevented me from doing the program every day, which means I will not be doing it tomorrow. And although I miss it, I got to tell you that in watching the past 24 hours proceedings, I'm glad. And I'm glad only because I don't want to have to report on this, because I don't want to damage my IQ any more than it already has, because just the very essence of what we're discussing today is intellectually challenging, to say the least. And it gives me cause to be sad. Sad for the intellect of the American public, the American voter, and the people that simply do not realize, in a larger sense, how unbelievably detrimental to the entire makeup of the federal government this would be if it was, in fact, successful. But more importantly, the coup d'etat that is being attempted right before our very eyes. Years ago, before we get to the call, years ago, I mean 20, 25, 30 years ago, I don't even remember where I was, but I made the comment to a group of people talking about hostilities in the world that World War III would not be fought with weapons. It would be fought with a push of a button and nothing more. Whether that looks like pushing the nuclear football or even destroying computer systems, it would not be one of traditional firepower. In looking at this event, it kind of harkens back, in my opinion, to the assassination of Jack Kennedy. Many historians believe, and I happen to be among them, that what we were witnessing in the 1960s was really a cloaked coup d'etat. And in a similar sense of World War III, I'm feeling that there's some similarities here, and that we're not going to take President Trump out by way of physical force, but rather with a phony impeachment. And frankly, if you're younger, you're in your 30s, your 20s, or even younger than that, you better do your research. Because you, your generation, not mine, your generation will pay a very significant price if this were to pass. And one last thought. Always remember something, folks, that when policy morphs its way into precedent, or precedent has been abandoned for the purposes of political power mongering, or power is even gathered unto a certain office, that precedent, policy, and power will transition to future administrations, future representatives in the House and senators. Do you really and truly want to see an America where we could impeach a president based upon third and fourth party hearsay from someone that they have not even officially identified yet? If you even utter a maybe on that, and I'm going to be rude, but you are a dumbass of the highest order. and you have no business voting in this country, and as far as I'm concerned, even living in it. Because you would be one of the greatest enemies of the state that history has ever concocted. Hello, Clark. How are you?
Hey, Michael. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. So, let's see. Let's start with the hearsay evidence. Mike Connolly explained to us yesterday that hearsay evidence is now, that's all we need. And eyewitness testimony, fingerprints, ballistics, surveillance videos, DNA, blood splatter analysis, it's all a bunch of bullcrap. Hearsay is all we need. And you know what, Michael? It depends on how you look at things. But if you look at it from their point of view, hearsay evidence is the best evidence. Because after the Russia collusion thing, Blasey Ford, and now the Ukraine hoax, it's very evident that the left is never going to run out of operatives that will give hearsay evidence of whatever they want given. You know, you remember watching Starsky and Hutch when we were kids, Michael?
Oh, yeah.
That show could have been cut down to a 10-minute show. And you'd have had 50 minutes for something else. The crime gets committed. Starsky and Hutch talk to Huggy Bear. Huggy Bear tells them the word on the street. They have the person arrested, and the judge convicts off of what Huggy Bear says the word on the street was. And we don't need any evidence. We just need hearsay. My goodness, this is where we've gotten to, Michael. It's crazy. How about Schiff? You know, the first thing Schiff's out of his mouth was he assured Taylor and Kent that there would be no repercussions for participants if this coup attempt failed. Ain't that pretty much what he said?
Yep.
That's what I heard. And the best thing Schiff did yesterday was, I don't even know the whistleblower's identity. Michael, you ever watch America's Funniest Home Videos?
Yeah, I've seen it before.
Okay. So, you know, you got the video of Mom with the camera and Mikey, who ate the chocolate cake? And the little kid's got icing all over his fingers and smeared all over his face. I don't know. Well, Mikey, somebody ate the chocolate cake. He goes, I don't know. That was Adam Schiff yesterday. I don't know who the whistleblower is. If he don't know who the whistleblower is, how would he know if the whistleblower was outed? I don't know.
Well,
there was just so much.
And going back to your original comment, Clark, I mean, in a world where, think about this for a second. I mean, not you. I'm talking to the listeners as a whole, because I don't think a lot of people can get their heads around how ridiculously sorry this is. But you have your primary witness, which has no information. You have your primary whistleblower that we don't even know. All right, did you ever watch any of the series of MASH?
Yeah, I watched some of it.
Okay. All right. I don't know if you remember this or not, but there was an episode where Hawkeye and BJ, no, it wasn't BJ, it would have been McIntyre, where they concocted a doctor by the name of Tuttle. And Tuttle never existed. But all throughout the course of the program, the show, this one episode, Tuttle was always doing great things. He was saving people. He was inventing new vaccines or whatever the case may be. And at the very end of the episode, they had this eulogy and people sitting around acting like they were the best friend of Tuttle and all this kind of stuff. But Tuttle never existed. Hawkeye had made him up entirely, and Hawkeye and Trapper. The guy never existed. So in that sense, that's the whistleblower. So you have a whistleblower that we don't know what he said specifically. We don't know who he is. He has not testified. Then you have this Quigley guy coming out and saying hearsay and third party and fourth party evidence is acceptable. Then you have the ambassador to Ukraine that met with Zelensky, but Zelensky never said anything about the call other than the fact that the call was good. And then the star witness doesn't have any other information over that. So you've got hearsay, star witness, and whistleblower. Clark, I'm sorry, but this is, you've got to be seriously mentally deranged to not be able to see through this stuff. This is a tunnelization of the American Constitution in the judicial system and the proceedings in the House of Representatives. The star witness has no information. The whistleblower has not been identified. And we are going to accept third-party hearsay and conjecture as valid proof of a need for conviction. Are you effing kidding me?
Let's go to your mentally deranged comment. You remember when Gabby Gifford got shot?
Yes.
Do you remember the picture they put up of Jared Loughner?
Oh, God, he looked like he was an alien life form.
He looked like Uncle Fester had relations with a toxic Avenger, okay?
Yeah, you're right.
Now, if you will go back to when Jim Jordan was lighting up Taylor yesterday, and then Adam Schiff denied knowledge of the whistleblower, you put the picture of Adam Schiff at that instant next to Jared Loughner, and you tell me which one you think's crazy.
Oh, he definitely has crazy eyes.
Yeah. So let's go to the – you remember when I think it was Ambassador Taylor began his opening statement, withholding military aid to Ukraine was the equivalent of denying aid to a nascent America at the time of the revolution, okay? Now, here's my question. Well, Barack Obama's military aid, I believe, was MREs and some space blankets or something, right? How come the deep state never spoke up when we weren't providing military aid during that time period? And Donald Trump provided them with Javelin missiles. I think probably what we have to do is retroactively impeach Barack Obama at this point. Just given what we were told yesterday by these witnesses. I'm pretty sure, Michael, if you'll go reread the New Testament, you're going to find a parable. Dad told two sons to go out and work the fields, and one said he wasn't going to do it, and the other one said he was. And then the one that said he would didn't, and the one that said he wouldn't did, and which one did the father's will. And then we look at what played out here. I don't know. Am I that off base with my analogy here? Somebody provided but he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, on top of that, I don't know if people realize that Trump is perfectly within his constitutional right to withhold. You know, this is all,
yeah.
You know, the whole narrative, the whole case is incorrect. Not only do they not have a witness or a whistleblower or evidence, they're not even trying the right issue. I mean, it's just a bunch of old guys sitting around, you know, a bar talking about all the women that they had in the past and, you know, and their old war injuries. I mean, there's nothing here. And, you know, I'm going to deal with it today, but I'm delighted that I don't have to deal with it tomorrow.
So the other thing that kind of piqued my interest was it was kind of like, how dare Donald Trump try to get to the bottom of corruption that took place in another country in an attempt to affect the outcome of an American election? And I thought, you know, if that kind of thing is allowed, the next thing you know, somebody's gonna want to get to the bottom of this whole silencing of Jeffrey Epstein thing. Where is this going to lead if we start pursuing actual corruption, Michael? Wow, we can't have that. I don't know. To me, the take-home lesson from the whole thing was, why should Donald Trump, you know, they were talking about alternative channels. Why should Donald Trump, or more importantly, we the American people, trust anybody in the State Department, the FBI, et cetera? Why should we trust any of these people to perform their jobs rather than try to advance their agendas? I don't know why he would do anything other than alternative channels. Would you trust any of these people at this point?
Absolutely not.
I
wouldn't have trusted any of them going in.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It wouldn't do for me to be put in charge because I'd just have to figure out if we were going to do the beheadings on the White House lawn or the National Mall. Oh, I'd want a clear statement made, you know, this is not tolerated and this is what happens. Oh,
right.
I don't know if I'm speaking figuratively or not. This is pretty bad. But anyway, it was pretty interesting. And, you know, at the end of the day, Michael, I got to thinking about it. There's not a single person that watched any of that, not one, that is going to be changed one way or the other. You know what?
Oh, completely agree.
If you're an undecided, you ain't watched that stuff. And I don't know. You reckon we're ever really going to see the Horowitz report?
Clark, I don't think we're going to see anything. You know, I fear that at the end of the day, we're going to get into the campaign, the really meat and potatoes campaign season. A lot of this is going to overshadow that, but it's just going to be a constant bombardment via the House of Representatives to the media to just constantly distract people from what's going on in the world around them. This thing is so farcical. And then, you know, the accusations of Schiff and the whistleblower and Taylor and all the Quigley and all the others, it almost makes me wonder if it's not entirely scripted. It's so bad. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not implying here that it's that, you know, it wasn't intentional, but I'm talking about it is like really, really, really awful. And I'll give you an example I'm talking about real quickly. Years and years and years ago, a lot of people use Pam, the cooking spray, P-A-M. And there was a commercial years ago that a woman walks into a kitchen of her friend, and she looks at her friend, "Hey, Barbara, what cooking spray are you using these days?" And the commercial was absolutely campy and disgustingly, I mean, it was bad. And I was talking to some marketing people about the commercial one time, and I was at a seminar. And this guy says to me, "Michael, that commercial was purposely bad because everybody in America is talking about how bad the commercial is. It was so campy and so hokey, but everybody's talking about what? The Pam commercial." This kind of feels like that, Clark. It kind of feels like it's so bad, so campy, so ridiculous that it is a massive distraction from what else is going on in the world today. Because if these guys, Schiff and all the rest of them, if they're serious in their pursuits, if they legitimately believe what they're doing, or they have an impeachable case here, this country is effed.
Well, if they're successful with this, Michael, we need to just quit holding sham elections.
Absolutely.
And save the money and let the deep state apparatchiks that are much smarter than you and I and the other voters pick our rulers for us.
I agree.
Because we're not intelligent enough to do so. Now, you do know that Adam Schiff, you know, Adam Schiff doesn't really want to be a congressman. Adam Schiff wants to be a scriptwriter in Hollywood, okay? He's written 3 scripts that he couldn't sell. You know the backstory on L. Ron Hubbard, Michael?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of, I'm thinking along those lines with Adam Schiff. He couldn't sell his stories, so he goes to another venue. I'm kind of getting that vibe from it.
L. Ron Hubbard. Played, Clark.
Well, anyway, so you got just a few minutes to Miss Barth, and I'll be listening. Oh, I tuned in this morning on my iPad. And if I hit the play button over, I get a minute or so. Now, on my phone, I'm okay. And I don't know what the deal there is. I don't know if it's your end or my end. Oh, normally I don't have any trouble with that iPad where I am because I got pretty good Wi-Fi. But anyway, I don't know if that's a thing or not.
Are you telling me you had a minute of silence?
Well, okay, on the iPad, I can listen to you for about 10 or 15 seconds, and then I don't have anything. And then I hit pause and play, and I get 10 or 15 seconds, and then it's gone again. And I don't know why that would be. You know, now on my cell phone, I said, well, if I can't listen to it here, let me see what I can do with the phone. And I have not had any trouble listening to you on the phone.
Hmm.
Oh, and I don't know. You know.
Yep.
The only reason I know how to do a lot of what I can do is because you're no longer on a terrestrial signal and I was forced to learn how to use a device. But anyway, I'll keep listening. You have a good time with Miss Barth.
I appreciate it, Clark.
All right. Take care.
You too. For whatever this is worth, and it probably isn't worth a whole lot, since you brought up terrestrial signals, there might be an announcement coming next week. Just throwing that out there. By the way, if you are listening to this program, we have redone some of our media, some of our Wi-Fi stuff, and some of the other ways that we connect with you every day or whatever we do. If by chance you are having problems that you didn't have before, or there's any kind of technological issues that you can share with us, just drop me an email, Michael at Hart, H-A-R-T, heartofamerica.net. That's Michael at heartofamerica.net. I would love to know exactly what you're experiencing as we continue to grow this thing, because we're about to do some other stuff that it's not going to necessarily be a return to the past, but it could be something similar. We'll have more on that sometime next week to share with you. So just kind of make a mental note of that, and we're going to be sharing some other things we're working on as well as we continue to try to break down what is going on in the world around us today through the prism of history. That's what we like to do here, is share things from the past. That's why we talked about the Clinton impeachment and Andrew Johnson. And in the past, you know, what's interesting is that if you look at, with the exception of the attempted or the threatened impeachment of Nixon, whenever we've had impeachment proceedings, they have very oftentimes, even if they were just bantered around and not necessarily put forth, they've almost always been along political lines. And I don't mean party lines. I'm not saying partisan. What I'm saying is that the impetus for them has typically been fostered by somebody with a political axe to grind. I mean, Johnson faces an impeachment for ousting the wrong war secretary. Clinton is ousted, or attempted anyway, the impeachment for lying about his dalliances under oath. Lewinsky and Paula Jones and et cetera, Kathleen Willey, et cetera, Juanita Broderick, those weren't reasons enough to impeach. It was the lying under oath. But at the end of the day, the actual complaint brought by Paula Jones would not have been enough. And so it goes that high crimes and misdemeanors, as has been the case in the past, bear something in mind here. And this is where it gets a little on the dicey side, historically speaking. High crimes and misdemeanors is verbiage that the founding fathers brought with them from Europe, from England. And when somebody was convicted of high crimes and misdemeanors pre-America in England, who do you think defined what that meant? The king? The sole monarch? And that's what we're flirting with here today. The possibility of a redefining high crimes and misdemeanors just for the purposes of removing a sitting president that the opposition party realizes they don't stand a chance in hell of defeating 1 year from this month.
Hey now, it's Andrew McLean here to remind you about my podcast, Over the Line. This is the podcast your mom warned you about, even though your mom doesn't really know what a podcast is. You really need to check it out. We have some great guests, amazing interviews, and we break down the political headlines of the day. If you want to be able to stay informed, entertained, and be able to win an argument on Facebook against those commie hippies, check out OverTheLineShow.com to listen to the latest show, check out some amazing merch, and see what's going on behind the scenes. Over the Line is also available on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, and plenty more to make it as easy to listen to the show as possible. Again, make sure you go to OverTheLineShow.com. Sign up for the newsletter and keep up with the show, whatever we do, wherever we go, and keep yourself informed. That's OverTheLineShow.com. In memory of Harambe, Danny Williams, and Andrew Breitbart.
Does your home have a water problem? Poor drainage around your home can cause all kinds of headaches. Disease causing mold, cracks in walls, foundation failure, even roof leaks. At Alabama Water Management, we know that problems can often be fixed from where the water is coming from, outside. Our approach is less invasive and less expensive. So before you spend thousands on a potentially unnecessary waterproofing system, call Alabama Water Management for a free evaluation. Alabama Water Management. Don't waterproof, water prevent.
To schedule your no-obligation waterproofing, drainage, or foundation assessment, call Alabama Water Management at 205-362-6419. That's 205-362-6419. Or visit us online at alah20.com.
The Land Report, the magazine for the American landowner, is a proud supporter of the Michael Hart Show. Currently, they're offering an exclusive subscription price for listeners of the Michael Hart Show. So click on the subscribe button on landreport.com and enter the code HARTSHOW at checkout and receive a one-year discount on America's number one land magazine. You'll get a full year of the Land Report, which normally goes for $59, for only $15. That's a 75% savings off the cover price. Again, that's promo code HARTSHOW at checkout of thelandreport.com, and make sure to check out The Land Report on Facebook if you love land. Part of America and the Michael Hart Show is brought to you in part by the Unknown America Project. Unknown America Myths and Little Known Oddities about the greatest nation on earth explores many of the falsehoods and fallacies and revisions in American history that impact the beliefs and the thoughts of many people in this country today. So if you'd like to learn some of the most enduring myths that have been perpetrated on the American public for the last 100 plus years in this country, go check out the book at heartofamerica.net. That's heartofamerica.net. And pick up a copy of Unknown America. It comes out to you absolutely no shipping. It'll be autographed, and we'll even send you a copy of the United States Constitution is our way of saying thanks. So support the Unknown America Project by simply going to theunknownamerica.com, and thank you for your support.
Can tell you the news.
We rock Diamond and Silk.
Mark Zuckerberg will end up, and it's going to be a face without the book.
Without the face.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
Now they're chipping away at the normalization of pedophilia, and the left is embracing this type of behavior.
We welcome Dinesh D'Souza.
I know I ticked him off. In a certain sense, it's a giant up yours to Obama, and that's why the left is freaking out over it.
Jack Kennedy and LBJ, Clinton, and the double standard from the left.
Yeah, I love how the left does nothing but push the most bizarre practices down our throats and up our tailpipes.
It takes a real man to tackle the hot issues that really matter.
Michael Hart is the man of this house.
Welcome to the Michael Hart Show.
Hey, welcome back. We're waiting for our weekly speed date with Megan Barth of ReaganBabe.com. She seems to be running just a little bit late today. Don't even know if Megan's going to make it, quite frankly. I didn't confirm this yesterday. I'm just working purely off of assumption here. So we'll give her just a tad bit more time, and then if we don't hear from her in the next 5, 6, 7 minutes or so, we will probably wrap this thing up, because we have shared with you. I really did want to get her thoughts, however, on the impeachment proceedings in the House of Representatives. But let me just stop here for just a moment and go completely nonpartisan for just a bit. Because I'm not really and truly, I'm really not a real partisan guy, despite this program or the things that I've written or spoken on. But I am a truth seeker. I am a historian. I'm fascinated with the past and reality and how it plays into the future and the present. People in this country, and I'm going all the way back to the 1700s, by the way, politicians in this country have been trying to usurp the authority, first off, of each branch, but in a larger sense, the Constitution, almost since this country's inception. The Constitution was written in such a way that obviously it is amendable. And the founding fathers understood that things could at times be fluid, and that at times there would be changes to the document as society deemed necessary, not politicians. There are too many people in this country, politicians included, that do not understand the Constitution, what the founding fathers had in mind, what the intent was, or their participation in it, and what it means. But in a larger sense, there's also the issue of a lack of history, a lack of knowledge of American history. This is very concerning for me, for the primary reason that what is going on with these hearings today, and which began yesterday, and frankly, really, truly began 4 or 5 years ago, as we have detailed, because the Democrats were going to come gunning for whoever won the White House. We as Americans are going to pay a very significant price if these types of shenanigans are allowed to continue. Do not get me wrong. I'm not talking about the impeachment of Donald Trump. I'm talking about hearsay, political theater, the utilization of a pliant. I don't even know if they're in bed together, but a pliant, a pliable media, a malleable media. You are, if you are not aware of it, living in extremely historical times. Because right before your very eyes, America is in the cauldron of policymaking. We are literally in real time redefining the future of this country to what it is, to what it shall be, and perhaps trying to interpret what the founding fathers meant by it. All that to say this. These hearings are an affront and an assault on all of us. I want you to think for just one moment about what we shared with you regarding hearsay. Now, contemplate this for just a moment. A sitting president of the United States staring down the barrel of impeachment. We have had two presidents impeached previously, Clinton and Johnson, and one that was threatened with it was Nixon. This country is almost 250 years old. It's that unique. But we are going to depend on second, third, and maybe fourth party hearsay to remove a president of the United States from office, and frankly, so a political party does not have to deal with him in an upcoming election. That is so unbelievably dangerous, folks. There's nothing partisan in that statement. About 10 years ago, I was at a restaurant, actually sitting outside on the deck of a restaurant in Birmingham, Alabama. I was having lunch with a young woman. She had blonde hair. She was dressed nice, close to half my age. We each had a glass of wine in our hand, and we were talking, and we were laughing. Later that evening, I went home. She wasn't holding the rolling pin, but my wife was loaded for bear because somebody saw me with this woman in a restaurant with a glass of wine on a beautiful spring day. Somebody had seen me and told my wife that I was out with another woman. And I'm telling you, I called holy hell. She didn't speak to me for days. She threatened me with proceedings of her own. Until some days later, when she finally came to realize that the young woman that I had been with was my boss. A boss that had flown into town because we were making some changes to our radio station in Birmingham, Alabama. My day part was being changed. But I was actually moving to the afternoon shift. And yeah, we were having a little bit of a celebration. This is a woman, by the way, that I'm still friends with to this day. Through the course of our relationship, she came to my birthday parties. I went to hers. Her and my wife eventually became friends, my then wife. I'm not going to say everybody had a big laugh about it, but that's what happens when somebody that doesn't have all the information shares witness or evidence or hearsay that they're not qualified for based upon an optic that they don't understand without verifying or validating anything that they think they saw or they know, and without giving anybody the benefit of the doubt. And we are going to use that similar type of evidence to impeach a United States president? I'm done with this today. Because I fear that my words are falling flat and the severity of this situation is not being taken nearly as seriously as it needs to be. Throughout the history of this country, politicians have attempted to oust their political foes and through a variety of different mechanisms. But ultimately, at the end of the day, they're not the ones to pay the price. We are. And I hope you do realize one last thing. As so much of this has been stimulated by claims and allegations of Russian collusion. If the House of Representatives impeached Donald Trump, and if somehow the Senate votes to remove him, you do realize Russia wins. A Russia that is not currently allied with China. The Chinese for years have been trying to stimulate their dollar, known as a yuan, to be the world's dominant reserve currency. The currency from which all countries trade overnight. An ousted Trump would give a very strong position to a Vladimir Putin, who has a vested interest in seeing the yuan as the world's dominant currency, because that's also what Russia trades with. Now, I realize that I'm extrapolating here a bit, but these are the kind of international repercussions behaviors like this entail. Not to mention the power, the unbridled power that we would be granting the United States House of Representatives and by extension the Senate over all proceedings in the future, proceedings that way back in the 1870s, Woodrow Wilson coined the term congressional government. In other words, government by legislative fiat instead of the will of the people. That's what's at stake here, folks. You can choose to ignore it, but I assure you, if it's successful, it will not choose to ignore you. That's why history is as important as it is. That's why this program exists, to take you back, in this case, to the 19th century, to point out yet again that history matters, because what you're seeing taking place in Washington, D.C. has in fact been attempted in the past and was defeated in this case by one vote. History matters, gang. History matters. Don't fall for their BS. Please spread the truth, because in fact, history matters. We cannot afford to allow this gang of political charlatans to define our future and the future of our children and grandchildren, predicated on their lust for political power and their willingness to destroy whatever lives must be destroyed to maintain it. Until we meet again, you've been listening to The Heart of America.